Big news here in Spain. Pedro Sanchez, supreme leader of Spanish socialism, president of the most feminist government in history, etc., has just announced that they'll soon be ending the golden visa. Sort of. Maybe. The story, as I understand it so far, Spain's golden visa gives people a couple of different options on how to get residency. There's the option to buy €1 million in Spanish stocks or €2 million in government bonds, but those aren't too popular from what I've heard. Far more popular is the option to buy a house worth at least €500,000. The government now wants to eliminate this real estate option, leaving the others untouched. In other words, they want to get rid of the low end of the golden visa options. This will probably upset more than a few people's plans, but it's not quite final yet. I will keep you updated as the story develops. For now, let's look at some of the data about Spain's golden visa. Hey everybody, it's Daniel. Welcome back to Spain to Go, the best podcast in the entire multiverse for all things Spain. This is episode 69. 69, your mom's favorite number for reasons I am unable to comprehend. Today, we're going to talk about Spain's golden visa and its possible end, or at least its partial end. So, let's get to it. Spain's golden visa. Here are some facts. The golden visa scheme was introduced in 2013 by the government of Mariano Rajoy. He was from the center-right Popular Party, in case you weren't following along with Spanish politics at that time. And this was during the Great Recession. The real estate market had been tanking for years by then, with no apparent end in sight. And I personally remember being somewhat shocked by the amount of €500,000 for a house when the law was first passed. That's a lot of money, well beyond the budget of a normal family. People actually living in Spain were suffering a lot at that point. Unemployment was over 20%, a lot of businesses were closing up, and tons of people were underwater on their mortgages, going back to live with their parents, unable to sell their houses at any price, etc. Meanwhile, the government was going to start selling residence permits to wealthy foreign investors. It seemed insane. Turns out, only about 10,000 golden visas have been approved in the last 10 years that the law has been in force. That seems like a pretty small number to me, but both La Vanguardia and El País agree, basically, on that number. They also say that 94% of those visas were given out via the real estate option, so the number of people buying €2 million in Spanish government bonds is small, in other words. Now, 10 years later, Sanchez is claiming that eliminating the golden visa is all about promoting access to housing for regular Spanish people, the government's objective being that no citizen should have to spend more than 30% of their income on a home which is, in his words, digno, adecuado, y de calidad. That's kind of a random collection of adjectives, if you ask me. Digno is probably decent more than dignified. Can a home be dignified? I don't know. Can a home be decent, adequate, and high quality? I don't see how. Those seem like contradictory attributes for a home to have. But those were Pedro Sanchez's words, digno, adecuado, y de calidad. All of this brings us to Spain's big real estate problem, which we have talked about before. I am not the first person to point out that in a country where a whole lot of people earn 16,000 to 18,000 euros a year, it's just not going to happen. You're not going to get people spending less than 30% of their income on housing. Real estate prices in Spain are way out of line with salaries, and either salaries need to double or real estate needs to crash again if anything is going to change there. That's why a lot of Spaniards live with their parents until well into their 30s, for example. The math on homeownership just doesn't work. Good luck getting together a 20% down payment when you're making 1,300 euros a month and paying rent and buying food and living your life, etc. It's rough. Meanwhile, in many of the major cities, construction isn't keeping up with demand. In Barcelona, for example, there were fewer than 2,000 houses built in 2023. According to City Hall's own statistics, in fact, the number was just 1,865 new homes completed. At the same time, the local population has increased by at least 40,000 people in the last year, quite possibly more. And these are not new trends. Add up many years of population growth in big cities and the fact that there just hasn't been a ton of construction since the 2008 real estate crisis, and you've got a problem that's getting worse and worse every year. So there are a lot of factors contributing to this whole housing situation, and large-scale government incompetence is surely one of them. But that's not something old Dirty Sanchez is likely to admit. All of this brings us to the big question. Are foreign millionaires pricing the locals out of their homes? Well, on my personal side, my wife Morena and I recently bought a flat here in Barcelona. And guess what? We weren't in a bidding war with members of the Saudi royal family, and we didn't have to fight off any Russian oligarchs to get the place. We paid a good bit of money for a two-bedroom flat in a working-class neighborhood, and that's it. The sellers were some old Catalan people who had inherited the place when their mother died. Rather than rent it out, they decided to sell it for a chunk of change, pay the inheritance tax, and move on. And I'd like to propose that this situation is normal for people buying or selling average price houses in unglamorous towns and neighborhoods around Spain. I don't believe for one second, in other words, that a few thousand wealthy foreign investors are moving the median value of homes at all. They may be affecting the luxury real estate market, but that's not my problem. And it's also not the problem of your average Spanish family who's trying to make ends meet on a couple thousand euros a month. I'm trying to find an adequate metaphor here. The best I've got so far is this one. If I can't afford a new pair of Nikes, it's not because rich people are walking around in 1,000-euro Prada loafers. They are, of course, walking around in 1,000-euro Prada loafers, and that fact might annoy me, but it doesn't affect the price of mass-market running shoes. It's also worth mentioning that a lot of wealthy foreigners don't need visas at all. People from around the European Union can move to Spain and, in many cases, reduce their cost of living, even while paying more than the average price for a house. Those 10,000 golden visas are a drop in the bucket compared to the millions of people from around Europe who have every legal right to pop over to Spain to buy a second home or move here permanently. Two of our three landlords here in Barcelona have been from Northern Europe back when we were renting. There's nothing stopping relatively wealthy Europeans from coming and driving up the prices in your neighborhood. In fact, many of them are already doing so and paying in cash. So, is the end of the golden visa really going to help your average person with his or her housing problems? I seriously doubt it. Are there other visa options for moving to Spain in 2024? Yes, there are. Let's talk a little bit about what you can do if you were hoping to get the golden visa. But first, I wrote in a previous article about how laws are made here in Spain. The media reports these things as if they're a done deal, but in reality, they often take 2 years of negotiations in Parliament. They have to be passed back and forth from the Congreso de los Diputados to the Senado, and it's a whole long process. So the media yesterday just started saying that this was a done deal, pretty much, but if you read into it, it is actually a proposal that they will be reviewing in Parliament. Does that same process of 2 years of negotiation apply if they're just changing or repealing laws that are already on the books? Maybe it does. I guess we'll find out. In any case, for now, it's important to keep in mind that this is just a proposal and not a done deal. It could change. I'll keep you updated. The European Commission has been encouraging EU member states to kill these golden visa programs for a number of years now, citing dangers like security, tax evasion, and money laundering. What exactly is the European Commission, and how fast are governments supposed to act on its encouragement? I don't really know. The exact words on their website, ec.europa.eu, are, in a recommendation issued today, the Commission is urging member states to immediately repeal any existing investor citizenship schemes. That's from March 2022, over 2 years ago. So if I understand this correctly, Sanchez and company have all the time in the world to act on this recommendation, or not. We'll see what they decide. I personally don't understand the function of these EU institutions. They exist. They suggest things. It is unclear to me how they interact with the Spanish government and why anyone should care deeply about them. I think the average person is probably in the same boat, that if you ask them, well, what is the European Commission up to these days, they have no idea. So a European Commission recommendation doesn't do much for me. Apparently it doesn't do much for the government here in Spain, because they're just studying this now, 2 years after the recommendation for immediate repeal of investor citizenship schemes. We'll see if Pedro Sanchez and his government end up doing anything about this or not. In the meantime, have you heard about the digital nomad visa? That might be a bit more your style if you work online. I have an episode about that here on the podcast. You may have to just look through the list of podcast episodes for it. Well, let me see if I can find it really quick. Digital nomad visa, episode 33. The problem with the digital nomad visa is that it was passed also about a year ago, March 2023, but it is unclear whether people have actually started receiving digital nomad visas. I've heard lots of cases of people applying, lots of cases of people wanting to get the digital nomad visa. I haven't heard of a lot of people actually getting it. It may be kind of stuck in bureaucratic limbo, like so many other things. In any case, that is a possibility. There's also the non-lucrative visa, which is for people who have enough money in the bank or pensions or passive income to live on, but which doesn't allow you to work. The caveat there is that a lot of people have been working on non-lucrative visas. You're technically not supposed to do that, but generally, if you can show a large bank balance or a pension of some kind, you can apply for that, come to Spain, and figure something out afterwards. You still have options, in other words, so don't worry too much about the golden visa. The number of Americans who have apparently got the golden visa in the past several years is shockingly small, according to the numbers published in La Vanguardia. La Vanguardia officially says 170 people from the U.S. have gotten the golden visa in 10 years. This is compared with 2,700 people from China, 1,100 from Russia, and apparently Iranian companies have gotten a few of these. I didn't realize that companies were able to get visas, but who knows? In any case, I think the non-lucrative is a lot more popular, and the non-lucrative is not being touched for now, as far as I have heard. That's about all I've got for today. I hope you have a great day wherever you are in the world. Quick heads up, I will be down in Madrid in a couple of weeks. There's two reasons why I'm going down there. The first one is Devour Tours. I've known the founder of Devour Tours, Lauren, since she had a recipe blog, I don't know, 10 or 12 years ago. She had a recipe blog, I had a Spain blog, now she's got an international business empire, and I've still got a Spain blog and a podcast. I've also moved up in the world. In any case, Devour has food tours all over Spain and also in some other places. I'm just looking at their blog right now. They've got Florence, Lisbon, Naples, New York City, wherever that is, Paris, Rome, Venice, Bordeaux, Bologna, Barcelona, etc. I've been on one of their tours previously, the Plaza Mayor Madrid tour, way back in the day. They've invited me to one of their new events. I'll give you some details in a future episode about that. Also, I'm going to be doing a bike tour, which I'm excited about. The bike tour is going to be La Ruta del Quijote. It's a bike touring company. A gentleman named Raul has invited me. He's a fan of the blog and podcast, apparently. And his company, which you can find at biketourinspain.com, offers several different tours. They've invited me on La Ruta del Quijote, which is in La Mancha, the region to the south of Madrid, famous for Don Quixote, the novel, one of the great works of world literature. So I'll be going down there. I'll be making a podcast episode about that as well, I assume, kind of treading the line between literature and wandering around looking at stuff, both of which are passions of mine. So that's biketourinspain.com if you want to check out the things on offer there, and also devourtours.com for food tours in a lot of places. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please head by the blog expatmadrid.com for much more about life in Madrid, Barcelona, and Spain. I've got hundreds of articles up there that you may enjoy. Also, you could check out Learn Spanish with Daniel. I've got several new videos up there where I am teaching different aspects of the Spanish language. I give a sort of simple explanation that you should be able to follow along with. I enjoy it. It's free. You can just do that. It's on YouTube. Just Google or, you know, put Learn Spanish with Daniel into YouTube search and you will find it. Also, every episode of the podcast is now up on YouTube, so you can check those out. 69 episodes so far and more coming soon. You can go to expatmadrid.com/donate. You can send me a few bucks. I enjoy receiving money from my listeners. While you're there, you can attach a note saying what you want to hear about here on the podcast. I try to help out if there's a topic that is within my range of abilities to write about. And in any case, I'm happy to hear from you. Got sort of a hardcore group of people who enjoy hearing my takes on different Spanish things out there. It's great. So thank you once again, or thank you as always for listening, and I hope you have a great day wherever you are. From beautiful Barcelona, hasta la próxima. Bye.